The book says what we have is a daily reprieve contingent upon our maintenance of our spiritual condition. Well, I'm not drinking. I must be maintaining my, you know, and then I'd move on. But basically, I'm a power seeker. And I have known since I was 5 years old that I don't have enough power. I'm not big enough for this life. I just am not big enough for this life. I don't have what it takes to do the deal. I knew it at five. People say, you're a big boy now, you do this. Yeah. But I knew two other things. I knew I can't tell anybody I'm big enough. I'm not big enough. And I also knew that I got to figure out a way to be big enough. To be big enough. And so maybe the money in my grandma's missionary jar, if I can steal that, maybe that'll be the deal. Maybe the candy I can steal at the store, maybe that's big enough. Maybe the lie in me, and 16 years old, got it, me and the booze, that's big enough. Now I'm big enough. Now I'm big enough. I'm a power seeker. I want power. And most of us are like that. Most everybody in the room is a power seeker. Lack of power would not be a dilemma if we didn't really dig power. There's people here in Oregon, that... what? Okay. That don't care anything about power. There are people like that. There, none of them in this room, but there are people like that. We want power, and we sense it when we don't have the power, and we begin to scramble, and we don't tell anybody we don't have. We just want to begin to get something cooking, and sometimes we substitute stubbornness for strength, but it's still better than going it alone, you know? I mean, there's 100 ways to do that deal, but sober and drunk, and and nothing changed about that when I got into Alcoholics Anonymous. Nothing changed about that. I didn't have any power. Don, we were talking earlier tonight to Don P., who has been up here and who is a remarkably wonderful source of spiritual strength for me, says that when that the removal of that obsession is a gift. It's an absolute gift. And we have the rest of our lives to become comfortable with that gift. And it is a gift. I don't know what would I have done on the night of the 13th, 14th of August to merit 33 years of sobriety. I was in huge trouble and drunk and nasty and... What did any of us do the night before we got sober to merit the gift, whether we've had the gift for 9 months or 12 years or 22 years or 33. We didn't do anything, except perhaps we prayed. And some of us remember our prayers and some of us do not. I don't remember mine. When I was... So all during that time, I was 5 years sober, somebody said, go to law school. When I was 9 years sober, the state of California gave me a license to practice law, which is pretty colorful because they wouldn't give me a license to drive a car when I got here, you know, so we're kind of moving up. But it was about power, you know. I thought that was going to be, it isn't a source of power, so it's just something interesting to do between meetings, but there's not a lot of power for a different set of people to report to. It's better answering ready for the defendant than being the defendant. But and I played both of those games. When I was 17 years sober, I was in full flight from reality. I was banking on an image. I had the right home and the right car and the right... girl, started to say relationship. It was not that. It didn't have any of that dignity to it. But there she was, gorgeous. I had the right address. I had the right income stream. I was trying big cases. I had my name in the paper in L.A. Did that. And it didn't seem to be quite what I wanted. I started taking seminars. Est was a big one in those days. I'm on the search for something, right? I really want something. You get a guy like me with 17, 18 years of sobriety, and one night I'm on top of the airport Hyatt at LAX in Los Angeles doing a fire walk with some guy named Tony. trying to look cool, go, God damn, that's hot. But I'm looking for power. You know, I want there's got to be a secret here, and I want to get that secret. They will promise you these seminars. Basically, the promise, and Paul Martin pointed this out to me. He's in Chicago, got 53 years of sobriety this year. He says, if I have any message, it's a message of one beggar talking to another beggar about where the bread is. I hear that, boy, I hear that. But he said the promise of those things is that if you do what we tell you to do, and it'll take another $5,000 workshop before we can fully explain it to you. But if you'll do what we tell you to do, you can have your own way. That's the promise. And some of the information is great. Sometimes you even get your own way. Always a troubling thing for an alcoholic. And I tried that. And I'm right in the middle of AA. I haven't left AA. I'm still sponsoring people. I'm doing all of that stuff. And I'm 20 years sober. And I'm 21 years sober. And I'm 22. And I'm working harder and working faster and doing all of the thing. And 10 years ago, it got flat enough for me that I decided that I better take the steps. I acted like I'd take them again as if I'd taken them. I hadn't taken them. And so I started... I said the third step prayer. It's kind of like, you might wonder why I didn't start at step one. Well, I don't know. I guess I was going to buy in like a multi-level marketing thing. I'll be a supervisor or something. I don't know. I said the third step prayer. I didn't even take the third step. I just said that prayer. That's a very powerful prayer. And it's going to be something that I'll talk about a little bit this week, and it is extraordinarily powerful, this prayer. And within 100 days after that prayer, my life fell apart. About 100 days, the house was gone, she was gone. She came to me and said, I don't want to do this with you anymore. And we've been together 5 years living in this house. This house that was just, I always felt like the real owner was going to come home one day and tell me to get out. You know, it was like that. Beautiful place. And there should have been on the back of the front door, checkout time is. And I had to earn a lot of money every month just to wake up there. It was gone. And I'm living in a little apartment. My law partner came to me during that same 110 days, said, I don't want to do this with you anymore. And the income stream was gone. My image was gone. The thing I worked so hard to develop over the years was gone. I lost my identity 10 years ago. Now, before I forget to say this, the law practice... got reestablished and all that stuff is, but from a different place. It shocks you when you're 53 years old and you've been sober 23 years and you think you're dying, and you are dying, and you think you've lost everything and are left with nothing. And God, how did that happen? And I went. I was scheduled to do some speaking, and I wound up back in some roundup, Music City roundup. Ran into some guys from other parts of the country and sat up with them late at night in a hotel room. A guy named Don Pritz, I don't know who he is. A guy named Joe, I don't know who he is. A guy named Gary, whoever that may be. People from Louisiana. people from around the country. And I was one of the speakers, and a couple of them were speaking there that weekend, and we sat up late, and I got that they were doing something that I was not doing and had never done and really didn't even know about. One of these guys was then living in Denver, but he told me that he was moving out to the West Coast and that he would call me when he got in town and maybe we could get together. And by the following January, 91, I guess, he and I were sitting down regularly going through this book. And it started me on the most amazing leg of the trip, the most incredible thing that I have ever been through. And it's that I want to talk about this weekend. Those steps from that point of view right out of this book where we made some wild assumptions that everything in that book is true. We just assumed that. Everything in that book is applicable to me at 23 or 24 years of sobriety or 33 years of sobriety. It isn't for the guy just getting sober. Everything in that book has, every sentence is a gold mine. It's inspired. I think Wilson just held the pen. I think it came through him. He couldn't have written that at 3 or 4 years of sobriety. No way. No way. And they said, you're like a guy all of this time in sobriety, you're like a guy that wanted a cake, a chocolate cake. And you went out and bought a box of cake mix. And you read the directions on the side. And you said, where's the cake? Come on, come on, come on. I want the cake. I got to get on with it. I don't have a lot of time. Screw around. Give me the cake. There's no cake. So if you're like me, what you do is you go to a meeting where other guys are reading the cake. And if all they're doing is reading the directions on the side, you're not going to get any cake. You get a bunch of guys, you can speak them in French, no cake. Sing them, no cake. It's just directions on the side of a box of cake mix. And the more faithfully you follow the directions when you finally decide to do something, the better the cake, the better the cake. They said, you're the lab rat. We don't know if those guys were telling the truth or not. That might be the biggest hoax in the city, this big book. What is that? You get a guy like Wilson writes a book, he uses phraseology like the goose hung high. What the hell is that, Bill? Stop it! And they say it's got some value to it, and they tell us what to do in the book. We'll never know, will we? Unless we do exactly what they said they did. And if we get what they claim they got, then we'll have something. At least we'll know it's a hoax if it's a hoax. And we can go back to the firewalk on top of the airport high. Don told me, he said, I'm walking down this trail and if the sign says there's a two-headed calf 1 mile down that way, I'm going. I got to go look at the two-headed calf. And if there's a crippled monkey making love to it, I'll stay a week. And I said, I'm like that too, man. I look under every rock. He said, yeah, that's great. Look under this rock. Well, these are only suggested steps. Yeah, it doesn't suggest anything else, though. That's what it suggests. Work with us here. I'm going, okay, okay, okay. A year went by, and I'll shut up here in a minute. We'll take a break. But I'll tell you this. A year went by. I call him up. I don't know. Still don't know what happened, why it all hit the fan the way that it did. I said, Don, I still don't get this thing about I lost everything in 3 months. In fact, I was just looking. It looked like 100 days. And it's just gone. Gone. Everything I'd worked for. He said, well, what were you doing at the beginning of that 3 month period? I said, well, I was just doing my deal. I was, I remember I was, AA had gotten so flat, I thought I ought to take the step, so I said the third step prayer. He said, really? You did that? Did you take step one? No. How about step two? No. You took the third step. Did you notice that just under that third step prayer, it says we thought well before taking this step, making sure we could at last abandon ourselves. I said, I didn't notice that. He said, well, did you at least notice that in the middle of the step it says, relieve me of the bondage of self? I noticed that. He said, well, what were you bonded to? I said, oh, my God, I was bonded to my image. And what comprised your image? Well, a girl, the house, the car, the address, the income stream, the law practice. He said, he relieved you of that bondage. Took him about 100 days to do it. Next question. And so it's amazing how when we begin this process, it sets into motion spiritual laws that we only dimly perceive. It is such power. It's what we've been looking for. Not our little ragtag power. Not my power, but power. Power.